blessings, blessings. Okay, here we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Well, it had the theme of the mystery of Christ. I believe that's the essence of our message, the gospel that God wants us to really flourish in. And so we're just stepping in. That's why we started the school. The school wasn't something we were planning to do in any kind of fashion, but all of a sudden he said, now do it. So we started right after Pentecost to teach the dwell message, how to walk in Christ and so forth. Oh, you're going to love this though. Lord Jesus, I thank you for being worth it all. More beautiful than anything as we are to you. Thank you that you have chosen us and brought us to encounter you, to live in you, to dwell in you, and your word to dwell in us. You're confident in your complete victory, sharing it fully with us in every detail. As we enter in, we become all that you are, because all that you are, the head, flourishes and flows freely into all of the body. We, the church, become and are your body. The fullness of you fills all in all. So even as we have been instructed in so many, what would feel like and do feel like when you start artificial new ways, you take them and make them for your own glory. We will not despise the day of small beginnings. For the seven spirits have rejoiced to see the things that have been set in motion in these last few months. And so we will see the completion of the things that were began by the shouting of grace and the movement of the Spirit to remove the mountains. And there shall be a completion in the hands of those who start what they began. And says the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, Zechariah 4 says that too. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened to me by the Lord. This whole message will minister to all of us here, because what is happening for all of us here and the whole of the body is we've been brought out of the old into the new. The new is not yet there established, and the old is not yet passed fully away. But we're learning. And so I want you to embrace this. Furthermore, I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel. A door was opened to me by the Lord. That would be like an evangelist's dream, an apostle's dream. I came to do this, and the door's open. I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now, in today's world, not so much right now because there's a lot of physical disruption, that would look like a failure. That would look like you missed the moment. You gave up the opportunity that you had for the gospel, and you just went off because you had a relationship issue that you needed to bring completion or resolution or find. You got to find my Titus. He doesn't say why or what. He just said, I have no spirit. I have no peace in my spirit. Now, thanks be to God. This is the part I want everybody to embrace. If you can let this come into your life. Today, you go home smiling. You'll look at the lawn you have to mow and smile. You'll look at the lawn that needs mowed that you can't mow and smile. You'll look to the asphalt that is where ought to be a lawn and you'll smile. You're just going to smile. Because here's the deal, dude. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us. Always leads us in triumph. Now, here's the catcher. In Christ. In Christ. See, if I'm in Christ, there's only one place for me to go, and that's in triumph. And I'm always being led in triumph. And so, first off, Paul had to have the capacity, as we do as the living members of the body of Jesus, inside that wherever I'm going, I'm being led in triumph in Christ. If I'm in an opportunity, a door open for ministry, I'm being led in triumph in Christ. If I'm looking for a friend and trying to resolve or find or collect, I'm being led in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. It's a beautiful aroma when he smells Christ in us, our life yielded to Christ, listening and responding and valuing, appreciating. We are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. The ones who are we are the aroma of death leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? I'm going to pause and have us jump over to John 12, verse 1, and then we're going to come back right to 2 Corinthians 2, 17. So if we get to John 12, verse 1, I'm so used to looking behind the screen that now is where is an empty room. I'll look over there. Okay. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had been raised from the dead. Keep going. Now I'm looking over there. I'm looking at you. All right, verse 2. That's what I want. Okay, if not, I can find it in my Bible. Thank God for Bible here. It works. They all work. Oh, there it is. We're coming along. It's okay. Nope, I want John chapter 12, verse 1, then John chapter 12, verse 2, then John chapter 12, verse 3, and so forth. So, there they made him a supper, verse 2, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil, spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. That's the word aroma. It's two other places it's used, Philippians 4:18 you can explore, and in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, and they're about this fragrance. But this one opens the door of the opposites' reactions. So the whole house, the spikenard, a year's salary to put this oil on his feet. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii, that's 300 days' labor, days' wages, and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what it was and put in what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She's kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you will have always, but me you do not have always." Okay, so now we'll go back to the last verse of chapter 2, 2 Corinthians. When we live out faith, when we put our trust into the Lord, when we give away what we have of ourselves into Christ, it is an aroma to God. And it will offend and it will unlock. Extravagant worship will offend those who are locked up, and it will unlock those who are unlocked. And it'll create indignation, anger. It will create freedom. Confirmation. Now the key for us right now, for me, is to stay super engaged in Christ. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Go back to verse 26, I believe. No, verse 16. Can you go back one verse? So to the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, to the other the aroma of life leading to life, and who is sufficient for these things? So meaning like, well, who could qualify for such a task? How can we be this kind of carrier? How do we become these vessels? He says, "For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God." Now I'm going to stop here because it's worth, but you know what the word peddle means? Retail. Mass marketing, finding a way to get it out to the masses. It's husking. It literally means retail. But as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. The day we're in is not a day that we will manufacture Jesus. This is a day where we will bring Jesus. And we only bring Jesus if we have a sincerity and simplicity and a connection and a union, and we value that more than what would seem to move and help others or help us by helping others. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3 now, we'll begin verse 1, and I'll probably go through the whole chapter, so that should make it easy. Paul goes on and he says, I'm always led in triumph. We're bringing a fragrance to God. The fragrance comes out of sincerity and of an offering. To some it will offend them, to others it will release them. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? So he's going again. Do we need the natural source to help you go forward with us? You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. The New Testament in Jeremiah 31 says, the prophecy of the New Covenant was that God was going to no longer write on stone and tell us what to do. He was going to put his laws in our minds and write them on our hearts. And we were going to be led by the Spirit. And this chapter describes this. And I'm laying this out because this is what we're in. And we can just go, I want to learn how to do this. I'm going to just kind of flow in this process. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about recognizing his accomplishment, honoring what he has done, worshiping him in every way we can, fixating our gaze, placing our soul, looking upon him, beholding him, enjoying him. The more we do that, then we are inside that place in Christ. So we have such trust through Christ toward God. We are confident that we're going somewhere because of Christ. Our lives are becoming a testimony to one another. Before one another, we're living out honest, sincere lives. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Is that good news or what? Woo-hoo! You don't have to produce this stuff, guys. Yeah. You don't have to produce it. You may be home, you may be limited in your movement, you may be not in a place to get out and get about because it's just not your time yet. You don't have to catch up with anybody or keep up with anybody. You've got somebody inside of you. His name is Jesus Christ. You see, this has been a shut down, shut up, and sit down until we listen again to the glorious one. Till we no longer compete one with another and think that we're going to find the better way to do things so we get more out of what we do. Who cares? All that matters is Jesus Christ. And he will be glorified and he will be worshiped. And some little girl is going to come with her dowry and break it on his feet. And this time it won't be for his burial. It'll be for his return. It'll be unlocking the future of the Christ coming onto the earth. You see, this is not the hour to mass produce. This is the hour to intimacy, into the hour of honesty, into the hour of vulnerability, to put yourself out on the line and say, you know, I'm not using the props that I've used before. I'm going to just be in Christ with his word. He will be sufficient, and I will walk into the future. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, and think anything coming from ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient. Now, see, the thing is, when I hold my place in Christ and I begin to allow his words to abide in me, and I dwell in him and his words dwell in me, that's first humility. I give him his place of all sufficiency. I say to my soul, whatever you need, Jesus has got it. I say to my fears, whatever you are requiring, Jesus will be there. Jesus' love is sufficient. And then I stay engaged in that posture. That's pleasing. That's really the first step. And it's an awkward step because if you're supported on the outside, when you all of a sudden the outside isn't supporting you, you find, hey, I got to get my core muscles. I've got to get the inside of me strong. You see, if we live from the inside, we live in eternal. If we live from the outside, we live in the temporal. The temporal's going away. The eternal is forever. So we're not of the ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Ask yourself, next time I try to solve a problem, what am I applying? The law or Spirit? Laws always give me an answer. I want a rule. I want a way to perform. I want things to be done this way because then that doesn't have to be looked upon anymore. We just let it be decided. But the law is called the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? What we call often the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was the law, came down from the mountain in Moses' hands. What we call the New Covenant, the New Testament, is the Spirit given to us by Jesus Christ. This ministry of the Spirit, the covenant of the Spirit, which is why it's not as easy to nail down because he's wind, is more glorious. When Moses came, because he had been in the presence of God for 40 days, receiving the instructions both of the Ten Commandments and how to build the tabernacle, he came down, his face was shining. When you go to Exodus 34, you read it, it was the skin. He had like the old glow watches or those, you know, he absorbed the glory, but it was only flesh deep. Literally, you look it up. It was his flesh was shining because it had been in the presence. But now, God, through the new covenant, is shining from within our heart. It's shining within our heart and the possibility. You see, the church couldn't become glorious when she had all her stuff working. Why do you need the glory of God when you can do it yourself? I get smoke machines if I need. You know, there's just so much resource on the outside. This has been a great moment to deal with the inside and to realign, to readjust, to recalibrate, to reposition. So he's saying, okay, so let's look at the new covenant. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory. Anybody ever been condemned by the word of God? Oh, come on. Well, you know what that feels like. Makes you feel like you want to just get up and live and be holy, right? No, it makes you want to hate yourself. Makes you want to give up and want to try. You think, oh, gosh, I'll never get out. It puts you in hopelessness, despair. So if the ministry of condemnation had glory, Moses' face is shining, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So we have the law that brings death to condemnation. We have the Spirit that brings life to righteousness. Righteousness is never known by doing things right. When Wednesday night, which everybody welcome again, we're starting the interview and worship service. It goes at 6 p.m., not 7 p.m. So, and we'd start with an interview around the word. We're going to talk to, I'm going to talk, interview Brian again and finish this sound that we stepped into is really profound. We're going to talk about the beauty of yielding, understanding the authority of Christ in yielding our rights for his righteousness. And we're going to just kind of explore that. And because there's something about this righteousness that's only received through Jesus Christ. And in fact, the ultimate plan of heaven is to take all of your righteousness and just gut it out of you. Because if you have dependence on your own righteousness, you can't go anywhere. Because you'll always be hamstrung by, did you know, what I didn't do, should have done, need to do, what I'm not doing, how I'm doing it. We're going to be carrying the all-sufficiency of God in our belly. And he's going to find a way of expressing himself in our life. Start with your own heart. Let him make you joyful, full of peace, full of blessing, let him affect you. And once that starts happening, then we start letting the radiance of God take place versus trying to get it from the outside. So the ministry of condemnation had glory, but the ministry of righteousness exceeds in more glory, for even what was made glorious had no glory in respect because of the glory that excels. This is not like two glories, one's kind of gotten old and faded, and this other one's new and fancy. This is way up here. This was the mystery hidden before in God from time past. This is the culmination, the consummation. This is how men are made righteous, men are made healed, men are made delivered. This is how God delivers all racism, because there's no Jew nor Gentile, there's no slave, there's no free, there's no male, there's no female. We can't segregate ourselves by any classification because we're all one in Christ. You know, the radical thing that's coming on the earth is men, women of all people are going to start bowing their knee, lifting their hands, and confessing with their mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. I mean, we are so primed for this. This is the harvest. The harvest is on the news. All signs of the movement of God is on the news. But there has to be a people that are not trying to conform the world from the outside, but are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So we love because he loves. We give because he gives. We walk the way he walks. We are not respecters of persons. We are respecters of Christ. And we bow to the one, the only one who's deserving of our submission. But again, starting with my heart, starting with my spirit. So for what was passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Every one of us, we carry a message. We are the message that we carry. Christ is the message we're to release. And like Moses, who he put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. You know, remember the luminous material that will absorb light and then reflect it? We know that after a while, it goes dim. His flesh was illuminating. Whenever he'd go back in the presence of God, he'd be re-illuminated, but it would fade. It was a fading, and it was a veil. But their minds were blinded, for until that day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. This is really important. Really important for all of us. For even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on over their heart, over their mind, over their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When we turn to Jesus, when we individually say, I want to behold the glorified Christ, I want to worship the resurrected King, I want to see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of majesty. How do I see? Yet the Bible, write a picture. Go spend some time in his presence with his word. Nevertheless, I turn to you, Jesus. I don't turn to law. I don't turn to new ways of doing things and old ways of doing things. I just turn to you. I return to you. I return to you. And then I turn into you. Not turning into you as self-existent, but I turn into, walk inside of you to receive all sufficiency. I am absolutely dependent on the Lord. All deliverance comes from Jesus Christ. All healing comes from Jesus Christ. All friendships come from Jesus Christ. All marriage comes from Jesus Christ. All tribulation comes to withstand Jesus Christ. But God, Jesus Christ says, that's the way you make the word become yours and not somebody else's. You test it with me and you get patience and all joy comes in the midst of it. And so it's Jesus Christ. It really is Jesus Christ. Everything else is just fluff. And if we go into this and we behold this person, we turn to him, you turn to him, all of a sudden, he's everything. Whatever we're fighting against right now, I promise you, Jesus Christ is the answer. The way, the truth, and the life about it. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So when we're in this, when the Lord is the Spirit, the Lord is the Spirit. See, the Spirit isn't going around going, hey, man, I want to have some fun, and we're going to have a party. He may look like that when he shows up, because he needs to get us out of our mind and off of our seriousness and religiosity. He may tickle us a little bit. He may weep us a little bit. He may overwhelm us in a great way. He gets to do only what Jesus Christ tells him to do. The Spirit of God does not speak for himself. He does not work on his behalf. He only does what Jesus Christ is telling him to do. That's why he is the model of our practicing how to live in under Christ, just as Christ had to live under the Father. Jesus would say, I never say anything except I hear the Father say it. We're learning never to say anything except we hear Jesus Christ say it. And we have a helper who helps us know what Jesus Christ is saying. And when he comes, it frees us from the restrictions that the law would keep us in. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. Mirror, root word here is the word of God. In James chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 13, we are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. All transformation happens inside of glory. There is no transformation inside of glory. There's just religious manufacture. True transformation happens when I behold the face of Jesus Christ and transformed in the appearing of him in my heart, in my prayer, in my engagement. So I'm, beloved, we have this opportunity, each of us, to become completely dependent upon Jesus Christ. And those little things you're working on that are like, I have to's or I wish I didn't have to, those are the doors of the future. Some of our inventions that will come, some of them are ideas and patterns that will start to unlock. It's not a day of despising the small beginning. It's a day of just worshiping the King. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Transformed by the renewing of our mind. Transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. Same word. It's the metamorphosis. It's not, you're not turning from a tadpole to a frog. You're turning from a caterpillar to a butterfly. There's a difference. If you ever watch a tadpole become a frog, they start growing these funky little feet. They start wiggling this little tail till it finally falls off. And then they climb over and go, croak. But a butterfly eats. A caterpillar eats. It's devouring, eating. And then finally it goes and it hangs itself upside down and spins a cocoon that becomes a hard shell. And while it's inside this protected shell, which some of us have been inside your cocoon, you're trying to get out. It isn't time yet to get out, because in the midst of that, a metamorphosis, the caterpillar liquefies. Liquefies. You wouldn't want to see the liquefied caterpillar. It looks like the one you stepped on. Worse. No, a liquefied caterpillar has to, because it's a metamorphosis. It's not just put some legs on and take your tail off. That's religion. Religion takes a man and makes him from a tadpole to a frog. But he's still a reptile. Still lacking life. Christ takes the old man and dismantles and remantles into the new man. And that takes some time. You've got to take some time. If you don't take time, you're not going to make it soon. If you don't take time to start spending your time with God, your God, in his presence, with his word, abiding in Christ, there'll come a time when you won't know how to find Christ. It's just the way it is right now. This is a precious, precious moment, and the door's so wide open. That's why we started the school, How to Dwell, because if you don't know how to dwell, then you're not going to be able to make it, because you don't know how to put your roots into the earth, into the rock, and build upon Christ. But it's the time. There's so much grace on it. So, because what happens is the transformation takes place. One transformation makes lead to another transformation, leads to another transformation, to another transformation. One moment, and seeing the image of God and the glory of God in the face of Jesus, and you go, whoa, I want to do that again. That makes prayer fun. Prayer isn't a duty. Prayer isn't a get-to, and how do I change this and get rid of you and make my way happen? Prayer has nothing to do about you. It's all about Jesus Christ. Just to let him get a chance to imprint himself back into me, and bring forth greater transformation. So I'm being transformed to the same image. Whatever I behold, I will become. Whatever I behold, that is a universal truth. It's not just become like Jesus. You can become like the devil by beholding the devil. Whatever you behold, you will become. Whatever you fix your gaze upon, you will enter. Whatever you're looking at is where you're going to end up. So you have to look to Jesus. You have to behold Jesus. You have to return to Jesus. That's every morning prayer for me, is to return to Jesus Christ. I enjoyed the day before, but I can't live from the day I lived. I got to go back and find him, inhale him, receive him, be with him, hear him, listen to him, be impacted, and then just carry that conversation with joy and thanksgiving all day long. That's just how simple life it gets. But once you do it, you go, oh, everything else seems to kind of come together. It's just like glory will take care of everything. I can go run around without resourcing myself because glory is supporting all things. And I'm going from one image of God into a new image of God, into the new image. I'm beholding more and more and more. That's how I'm transformed from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So verse 4, and then I got to close. Chapter 4. So therefore, we have this ministry, all the way to verse 6. I'll take way too long if I get into that. All the way to verse 6. For it is the God, not some God, the God, the one who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Genesis 1, right? The God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Physical impossibility. You don't get stars out of black holes, but that's what he did, who has shown in our hearts. Shown is to illuminate, to give off brilliance, to give the light, to give light, to give the illumination of the knowledge, the experience of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So we're not being changed from the outside in, we're being changed from the inside out. When God puts Christ, strengthens us with might, so Christ can dwell in our heart by faith. If we can behold all the glory of God in the entire completeness of God's glory is seen in Jesus Christ's face. He is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. That's why we are so longing to position our hearts before him every day so that we can behold him. And every time we behold him, we become like him. And he is changing us from glory to glory. And this is the factual way it works. Is God just says, illuminate, have an encounter, see my son, understand what he's done, give him glory, praise him, receive him, worship him, give him thanks, stay with him, don't let go of him, enjoy him. All right, Jubilee, we're going to have a chance to practice this. Keep practice this. Learn to sing some new songs. Learn to do some new things. Learn to become dependent upon the one inside. Oh, when we get this thing going, we could be humming. Humming, 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 humming. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have given are for us all things that pertain to life and godliness are found in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of you. Turn your affection, turn your thoughts, turn your imagination, hearts, eyes, anything that you can do to see, turn it to see Jesus. All of us. Give him praise. Give him praise to who he is for you, who you need him to be for you. You're sick, but the Bible says he's a healer. Then give him all the praise in the world that he is the healer of your body. If you're depressed, yet he is the hope giver, and you feel there's no future for you, then declare, my future is brilliant in Christ, and I have a hope, a living hope to live with because of Jesus. But attribute everything you need to Jesus Christ. Just attribute it. Just attribute it, attribute it, attribute it. Jesus, we worship you. We praise you. You're more than enough. You're everything we could ever hope for. Jesus, Open the door that we can have union and communion with you daily, with your words, with your scriptures, with your, with whatever you would visit us with as we visit inside of you. Praise you, Jesus. You're majestic. You're magnificent. You're powerful. You're glorious. You're victorious, Lord. You're everything.
You are everything.
Yes, Lord.
I worship you.
Oh, you are. You are. Everyone, let us online, on home, inside. Worship you.
You are everything.
My sufficiency is found in you.
My sufficiency. My sufficiency.
You're my righteousness.
I worship you.
I worship you. Healer, deliverer, redeemer, sanctifier. You are everything.
I worship you.
Worship you. Worship you.
Worship you.
Worship you.
You're my sufficiency.
All of it. All of it. Forever. Forever you are.
You are everything I need.
Everything, 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 everything.
I worship you.
I worship you, Jesus. Yes. Jesus, we worship you. Everyone, take your tongue out and make it a pen and start writing with your tongue. Composition concerning the King. See, how many things can you say about Jesus to Jesus right now in the next 2 minutes? How many ways can you describe him? Whatever you need him to be, start there. Whatever you've read about him, declare it's true. He will not deny himself. He is a healer. He is a deliverer. He takes us out of destruction. He brings us into a broad place, a good place. He's kind. He's generous. He's long-suffering. He is Lord. He is King of kings and Most High God. He is good. He is faithful. He is generous. He is everything, anything we need. All sufficient, all sufficient, all in all. He is all in all. The fullness of Godhead dwelling in him.
You are Lord Jesus.
Worship you. Come on. He loves it when we all sing, when we all pray, when we all declare something. Everybody, you're online. Activate this. Activate your faith. Activate the light to shine in the heart. You are everything to me. You are everything. I can do nothing without you, Lord.
You are the King.
You are, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Come on, it's time. We're taking our place. We're rising up inside of Christ. Oh. Jesus, Jesus, you are King. The nations will serve you. America will bow the knee to you. Lives will be transformed. Souls of Tarsus are about to encounter the glorified Christ in the midst of the light that shines around them, piercing their darkness, calling them out of their confused state of rebellion into liberation of sonship and calling. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you. We declare Jesus Christ is greater than any darkness in the earth, any hatred, any destructive system, any hellish plan, any long-seated animosity and hatred and cursing, vexing and hexing. Jesus Christ is Lord, glorified, glorified, and he's living in us. And we're not trying to produce him, we're trying to receive him. We're not trying to do him, we're trying to allow him to be in us. Give him place and presence and victory. We're blessing our neighbors, we're blessing our neighborhoods, we're blessing our friends, we're blessing our enemies. We have one prayer, the prayer of the same. I pray the same prayer for my enemy as I do for my friend. I pray the same prayer for those who hate me as I do for those who love me. I have to, because there's no distinction in Christ. No, not everybody has met him yet, but everybody has a place in him as soon as they say yes to him. So I don't curse a man because I think the man needs to die so that he can't go into the, so he can stop my future. I bless God's work, and he grabs the Sauls of Tarsus, the terrorists that were of the day, and he makes them apostles, and he sends them off into the earth. So blessings, 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 blessings. We're going into the nations in a minute. One more time. Yeah, please worship.
You are King of Kings.
Yes.
Lord of
Come Lord. On. King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
Jesus, you are King of Kings. And
you
Lord
are everything, Jesus.
I bow the knee to Jesus.
Bow my knee.
Bow
my
knee.
Bow my
knee. Jesus.
Confess you as Lord.
I yield my life to the King of Kings.
King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Yes, Lord.
You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I bow my knee to Jesus. I bow my heart to Jesus.
I bow.
You are the King. You are the King. You are the King. You are the King.
As we get ready to transfer into nations prayer, people in the building will go, you're free to go over and be a part with Larry and pray around, or go on to your home. Those online, stay with us. We've got some important prayer to get done. Things are happening all over the place. I hear the Lord saying, and it's for all of us, both here and online, don't despise the treasure that's inside. Because verse 7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're aware we're crackpots. God's aware that the treasure inside the crackpot is all he needs. That's what he does everything with. No one is to get up and go home and hope to God somebody comes and helps them. Everybody's to go get up, go home, and say, my God is helping me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Having begun the good work, you'll see it through. This is the faith that God is calling us, his beloved body, back into, and to renew and to awaken in new levels. And we bless every member of the body of Jesus Christ to come into fulfillment of their destiny, to do what they were called to do that no one else has given the call to do. And we bless that all competition surrenders to completion, all fear to love, so that love and completion is the model of the New Testament church today again. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, bless us as we go off into Jerusalem, fly away in the heavenly airlines of the Holy Ghost, travel and into Jerusalem itself to bless the land, and bless Larry, bless Melanie as they lead us out into prayer in Jesus' name.